Father, we do. We just start off tonight. We give you thanks, Lord, for Jimmy, her birthday tonight, being with us. And Lord, this is communion night. This is a night we come to celebrate. This is a night we come to proclaim our unity, our oneness, O Lord. This is a night where we come and pray if we've sinned by word, deed, thought, or action, grieve, quench, vex the Holy Spirit of God in any way. Then, O Lord, we run to the wonderful throne of grace, the place of mercy, the place of help, the place of all grace, the place where our Savior is, who always lives and makes intercession for us. And we come to you and ask you to cleanse us from all sin, all known sin, unknown sin, secret sin, presumptuous sin. Oh Lord, whatever it might be, we humbly come before you. And we ask your forgiveness. We ask your cleansing. We love and praise you tonight. And Lord, again, thanking you for Jimmy and 90 years young tonight. And Lord, again, we lift up Josh and Tyler, Jacob, for their journey home. And Lord, they're only a few days away leaving Peru and coming back here to their home, Lord. Be with them now. And be with us tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, and the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles quickly tonight. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, just cover a few verses on our communion service tonight. You know, we set aside the last Wednesday, if you're visiting with us or maybe tuning in live right now, we set aside the last Wednesday of each month as a night of celebration to the Lord. It's where we come together reclaiming our community, our oneness, and we do so through communion. And tonight, you know, listen, we know that the Lord Jesus, he is present with us, amen? So important. And the Lord's Supper, you know, it's not a ritual or anything like that. It's a time where we, his body, we pause. We pause to remember all that the Lord has done for us. We look back, we look within, we look ahead, and we celebrate communion tonight. And we also focus on our oneness. That's why our services on this Wednesday night are a little shorter. And then, of course, you know, we go to the back, and that's where we have our fellowship one with another. Amen? And we break food together and so forth and pray one for another. All the things that we do in the back. And plus, if you haven't been back there tonight, there's this one thing that's prepared. It is some kind of piece of pineapple with a piece of bacon on it, with caramelized something on it cooked in the oven. If you eat it, you'll probably be in sin. That is that good. We are the family of God, amen? We are the body of Christ. We're partakers of his divine nature, and we are also members one of another. We are reclaiming community and proclaiming our unity through the broken bread and the cup tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1, look at verse 1 tonight. It says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, say that with me, church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are, watch this, sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all who are in every place, call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, meaning all the churches and meaning us tonight. You know, we too are the church of God. We are the called of God. We're called out of this world. We're called out of darkness to proclaim his marvelous light. Amen. All the good things that God has called us to. We're set apart because we're saints. Set apart meaning to God, but also set apart and we're holy unto God. To be set apart for his service. Paul says, grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were, watch this, enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. You know, when we read these first few verses, we can say to ourselves, what an incredible fellowship. They are literally enriched in everything. All things belong to them. Like it says in 1 Corinthians 3:21, Paul says, all things are yours. And may I say, all things are yours tonight because we're in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, they were enriched in everything that Christ has given them. Blessed with every spiritual blessing and so forth. Rich in all utterance, meaning they had the good news of God. It says enriched in all knowledge. They knew how to please God. They had the good news, the word of God. And it says, watch this now in verse 7, so that you come short, Paul writes, in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church at Corinth did not lack any of the spiritual gifts, not any at all. And may I say tonight, we do not lack any of the spiritual gifts. And there, during the time at Corinth at the church, many miracles were taking place here, miracles and healings and so forth. All the gifts were in operation. And look at these people now. They were not passively waiting for the Lord Jesus, meaning the rapture. They were eagerly waiting for the imminent return of our Lord, as we are tonight. Amen. He could return at any time. Verse 8. Who will also confirm or literally establish you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blameless. In that day, tonight when we celebrate communion, in that day, one day when we all stand together there with the Lord, not one of our sins will travel to meet us in heaven. Amen. The Bible is so clear, Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. We have been justified tonight. But look at verse 9. God is faithful, or literally in the Greek it would read, faithful is God, by whom you were called into the what? Fellowship, the koinonia, the intimacy, what we're doing tonight. Called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, Paul doesn't praise the church at Corinth for any of the things that they have done, or any of the works that they've done, but Paul praises God who is working in them because he is the faithful God, meaning that he supports us as he is them until the very end. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the very day of Christ. Amen? God is working in us. Now, if we could stop with verse 9, and not read any more, we would say, man, what an incredible church. That's the kind of church we want to belong to. The gifts are flowing, man. They're in love with the Lord. They're eagerly waiting for Jesus to return, take the church out and so forth. But beginning in verse 10, look what Paul says. He says, oh, now I beg you, I plead with you. And if we read that in a moment, we'll read it. But look, all the things that are happening, if we read all the chapters in 1 Corinthians, oh my gosh, division was rampant. They were carnal. There were sexual sins. They were taking each other to court. They were even, like we're celebrating the Lord's Supper tonight, they were even getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. That was a wonderful bunch, weren't they? No, they were all messed up. Even despite all that they were enriched in everything, this church was literally falling apart. And instead of this church at Corinth, one of the most wicked cities at that time, instead of the church at Corinth making an impact on the city was making a horrible impact upon the church at Corinth. So the city was changing the Christian, if you will, not vice versa. With all that being said, why was that happening? Whenever Paul penned verse 9 here, let me look at it again. It says, you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. When Paul penned this verse, it was to call the church at Corinth back into fellowship. Come back into fellowship with the Lord, meaning that intimacy of the Lord. Listen, partaking of communion is an intimate thing. It's not a ritual. The Lord Jesus is here. We're his body. He is the head of the church. Amen. The word fellowship, as you already know, koinonia, like our cafe, the Koinonia Cafe. It's a place of fellowship. It's a place to share. We're partakers, in other words. We are there to have intimacy with our Lord, but intimacy also with one another. And the church at Corinth, as you already know, not only was it carnal, not only was it divided, but here's the problem. They had lost the sense, if you will, or they had forgotten, like so many people, Christians today in the 21st century church, and I say that with tenderness, okay, that they've forgotten that even now the Lord is with us. When we walk through the door, of course, the Lord is always with us, but here when we show up as the body of Christ to love him, to honor him, to adore him, to worship him, amen? We need to be aware of that always when we enter this chapel. The truth of the matter is, the church at Corinth, they had lost that. Not only had they lost that Jesus was in their midst, they lost, well, the lordship of Christ. In other words, they needed to make Jesus the number one priority again, but they did not. And the reason that they didn't is because they were saying, like we get to in verse 12, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ. They were all divided and so forth. Did you know that nearly every New Testament epistle mentions the topic of division in the church and how important it is for the church to guard, to keep the spirit of unity that we already have? Amen? Yes. So division always comes. Listen to me now. Division always occurs because of self-centered Christians, not God-centered Christians. Look at verse 10. Paul says, I beg you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, meaning he's the head of the church. We are his body. We must submit to him. It says that you all speak the same thing and that there be no what? Divisions, no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together. Watch this now. In the same mind, that's internally, with the same judgment, that's externally. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 says, there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So I just read where it says that we should be perfectly joined together. That word there means literally to mend, to repair, like mending our nets. And every church needs to constantly be mending the nets and make sure that nothing is torn apart. Amen? That's what we're always to do. So we are operating in the same mind tonight, the same judgment and the same care. Whose mind are we operating in tonight and every day? The mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. The way the Lord reacts to things and so forth. We're growing in that. The mind of Christ, does the mind of Christ want to go out and divide everyone in the church? No, never. No. Why were they divided? They took their eyes off of their Lord and they placed it on someone else. Look at verse 12. And now I say this, that each of you says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ, I'm of Pastor Chuck, I'm of Billy Graham, I'm of this. You know what I'm saying. No, listen. The moment that a believer takes his eyes off of Jesus, there's nothing else to look at unless it's going to be something less. And here, what is it? It's man. Boy, that's horrible. Christian, listen to me. This is very important. No human pastor, no Bible teacher should ever have the loyalty that belongs only to the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that's so important tonight. You know, to keep our eyes on our Lord. Listen, your favorite Bible teacher, praise the Lord, or maybe TV teacher, that's great. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. You know what? They didn't pay for your sins. They didn't pay for your shame. They didn't go to the cross for you. Amen? Oh, I'm telling you. You know, Jesus died our death, not our favorite Bible teacher or our pastor. That's why when there's such division, well, I love this person, da 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 da. Look what? No. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's exalted in his church, not man ever. Amen? He's the one that's glorified, never man. No. Oh, you know, our favorite Bible teacher or whatnot didn't give us eternal life. It was our Lord and Savior. He's the one to be lifted up. You see, tonight, as we come together, we are claiming community all over again through communion. We're proclaiming our unity that we have through Christ. You know something? In verses 1 through 9, in just the little text that I have read to you tonight, that is the church that God sees. That's, in other words, our position. But verses 10 through 31, which I'm certainly not going to cover all those verses at all, that's what man sees. Does it bother you whenever man sees the church divided, quarreling, hurting one another, wounding one another? How horrible is that? No, listen, I want always, whoever visits this church or the city that we are in, the DFW area, I want them to see one thing, that we love one another, that we love the Lord. Amen? You know, that's one of the commandments of the Lord, one of our vision statements here at Calvary Chapel, John 13:34-35, where Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." He says, "And by this the whole world or everyone will know that you're my disciples." How important it is to practice that. Now listen, fellowship with our Lord means to be intimate with our Savior as we remember him tonight as the ushers come forth to pass out communion tonight, to be intimate with him. Remember that Jesus is not on the cross. Amen? No, Jesus is not in the tomb. Jesus is present with us tonight. He told us he would never leave us, nor he would never forsake us. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." So let's prepare our hearts tonight, and we will celebrate communion together. Let me read, as they're passing out communion, let me read unto you tonight where the Bible teaches us. It says this as we look back. It says, "And when he had given thanks, Jesus broke the bread and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.'" And then he said something. There as he sat around with the disciples, he said, "I want you to do this. I want you to break that bread. I want you to partake of that one loaf tonight." He says, "And when you do it, I want you to do it in remembrance of me." So when you hold the bread tonight, we all hold it together as a family. It's not about thinking about something way over here or what you need to do next week or any of those. It's about, "Lord, I'm remembering only you tonight. There's nothing else occupying my mind or my heart, just my Savior." And he says, "Don't forget me." He says, "I want you to pause. And I want you to remember all that I've done for you because I love you." Jesus didn't have to die for us. He willingly, of his own volition, died for us. Amen? So tonight we want to remember the Lord's death. Remember all that he has done for us. And he said, "And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper." And Jesus said this, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it." Here comes again. "Do it in remembrance of me." I want you to remember this cup. I want you to remember that your sins, and like it says in Hebrews 9:22, without the remission of sin, there's no forgiveness of sin. Without the blood cleansing our sins. Amen? Oh, how important that is, the precious blood of the Lamb who's washed our sins completely away. Jesus said, "Don't forget that. Don't forget that as far as the east is from the west, your transgressions and iniquities and sins, mine as well, all of them have been washed away." Amen? How good is our God? And he says that often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim or you preach the Lord's death until he comes. So tonight, what do? We look back as we pause with the bread and the cup in just a moment. And we look back and thank the Lord for all that he's done for us. But then we also do something else. It says that we proclaim his death until he comes. So now we look ahead. Jesus is coming one day for the church. Amen. He is coming. It may be tonight. I don't know when he's coming. It could be tomorrow. I don't know. But I know that he told us to watch. He says, man, you don't know the hour that the Lord comes. You don't know when I'm coming back. He said, you be ready. You be expectant. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 24:42. He says, you be expectant. It says, do this until he comes. Now listen, that means that the table that we're celebrating tonight, the cup and the bread, it means that this is temporary. It won't last forever. When he comes, this is over with. Amen? Then we're there with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And then it says in the Word of God, we've looked back, we've looked ahead, now we look into our own hearts, we look within. And Paul writes and says, well, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a Christian examine himself, check out his heart, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And tonight, as I partake with you, I'm so thankful, aren't you? I'm so thankful that we tonight stand together, not that you need to stand, because I'm going to sit. That we are one family. We're washed with one blood, the blood of our Savior. And loved one, our sins really are forgiven. You say tonight, maybe you have aught against someone or whatnot. Listen, you know what you need to do? You need to examine your heart right now and say, Lord, I forgive. Do you know forgiveness is not really an emotion? That's not when the Lord says, I want you to forgive. Forgiveness is not necessarily that emotion. Forgiveness is obedience. It's where we obey the Lord and say, Lord, you commanded us to do so. And by your grace and by your mercy and by the strength of another, the Holy Spirit of God, I release that person to you. Amen. I release them. And Lord, if I've sinned in any way, if I'm sitting there holding the cup right now and the bread in my hand and I'm going, Lord, you know I'm fighting something. You know that I'm failing. You know that I feel horrible. You know that I'm grieved. You know that I know that you love me, but I feel like I've so failed. You know what Jesus wants to tell you? He says, I want you to remember that I paid for your sin. And there is no sin greater than God. There is no addiction greater than God. Amen? None. No. If God be for you, who can be against you? And greater is he who is in you than he who is in this world. Amen? So tonight we hold the bread as a family, proclaiming our unity, our oneness that we have with the Lord, knowing that he's here with us. So Father, tonight, we praise you, we thank you, and we adore you. And Lord, we look back and thank you for all that you've done for us. You took our place on the cross. You died in our place, taking our shame, our guilt, our sin, iniquity, our transgression. You died our death.